So once again, we'll start on the back. Please lie on your back. And note your contact with the floor. And so as you're noting, note what came forward first and what's coming forward now, which is to say, what you notice. Is it something comfortable, a relief to assume this orientation relative to gravity, or something uncomfortable? Something novel or something familiar? And then note too is, especially if you have some experience with awareness through movement, did you do the thing you usually do in terms of what you notice first and second and so on? Or did you do something different than you usually do? Then note in particular how the head rests on the floor. And so the how is composed of specifics. What part of the head rests on the floor? Let's say this. There's something very interesting in awareness through movement where there's a kind of sorting out the distinctions to be made between a kind of third person experience and first person experience. So, you know, third person is a sort of shared realm. Like, I could look at how your head is resting on the floor and you could find that that's true. But the personal or subjective sense of how your head rests on the floor is really accessible only to yourself. So what's the quality of that contact with the floor behind your head like? And how do you note that it's possibly sided? Is your head turned a little bit or tipped up and down a little bit such that that affects the contact with the floor? So it's things like this that make up how your head is on the floor at the moment. So as we move along, the person who's in my shoes or lack of shoes at the moment is the one who's responsible for that sort of shared domain of understanding, things that anybody can hear and begin to enact. And your personal sense, how you experience the lesson, it's very fundamental to Feldenkrais awareness through movement. It's central, in fact. So you get an overall sense of what it's like, how you rest on the floor here early in the lesson. How the head is arranged, how the pelvis is resting. And how the shape of the whole back and trunk affects that personal sense of how you rest on the floor, whether it seems similar side to side, where you note space, where you feel more pressure or less. All right, and now please go ahead and stand your 2 feet. Put the soles of the feet to the floor and cross the right leg over the left so that the foot hangs down toward the floor on the outside of the left leg. So it's not crossed in the way you might sit where the ankle is near the knee, but where the back of the knee is near the thigh of the left leg. And begin, actually before you begin to move, note where you've placed your left foot. So is it kind of balanced as you pause here? Do you need to move it a little toward the center line? Is it off to the side? If you wanted to be able to, as we begin to move, maybe you'll note that it's helpful to put the foot closer to the center line of the body. And you can adjust that as you go. But with the legs folded like this, begin to tip gradually, and starting with a small movement, the knees to the right. And bring them back to the center. So you can start quite small, which I'll let you make distinctions about things like how the contact with the floor behind the pelvis changes as you move, what muscular action starts the movement, what muscular action takes it back toward the middle. Whatever else is in there, how the ankle of the standing foot moves, and maybe how the pressure in that foot changes. And then you can gradually make the movement a little bit larger, but even if you can go far, do not go as far as you can go. You gradually explore the comfortable, easy range where you can really know what you're doing as you're doing it. And take care you don't stay in one position, but you move from the center off to the right and come back. Exploring the movement is what we're setting up here. And note, now that you've done this action a number of times, how far up does this turning that starts at the legs and pelvis, how far up the middle of yourself in the direction of the head does that go? Do you note rotation in the belly, the low ribs? What part of the spine also turns? All right, and then come back to the middle, unfold the legs, extend them and rest. Stand the feet once more, cross the other leg over. So put the right foot near the center line somewhere and cross the left leg over so that it hangs down to the outside of the right leg. Note before you even begin moving if anything is different about this side or this configuration. And then similarly, starting small, keeping it easy, begin to tilt the legs to the left. And note how the pressure behind the pelvis moves on the pelvis as you turn to the left. How far up, even a small movement can be sensed, or how you sense it as the pelvis turns. The knees tip. And as you explore the range a little bit without going as far as you can, at what point do you notice a change in the quality of the movement? Generally, right near the middle, it's quite balanced. At some point, if you note some change in effort or quality, perhaps as you turn to return, come back toward the center. And you see if there's any extra work you're doing in the trunk, perhaps along the sides near the armpit or in the shoulder or in the low back somewhere that's different on this side. So you're tipping off to the left and coming back to the middle. How's this side different from the other side? Is there work somewhere in the trunk that you're doing here that you weren't doing before? So just to the left now, so we make a distinction about the two sides. All right, then unfold the legs, extend them, rest. Okay, stand the 2 feet and leave them standing symmetrically or similarly, one side and the other. Both feet are on the floor. Now, take the 2 palms together in front of the chest, in front of the chin or the nose somewhere. Extend the elbows so that you make a triangle with the 2 arms. So the fingers are pointing in toward the ceiling. The arms are long. Not locked, but extended. And then a couple of times here, reach a little bit with the fingers. So you feel how the shoulders come away from the floor a little bit, how the back rounds across the shoulder girdle. You bring them toward the ceiling and back down. And just see what that's like. How reaching with the fingers brings the shoulders into play. How the shoulders coming back to the floor lowers the fingers away from the ceiling, toward the chin, toward the throat, the chest. And then finding a way where they're somewhat comfortably extended, begin to tip this triangle without bending the elbows to the right. And come back to the middle. And you start small, particular, keep the elbows extended, don't deform that triangle. So that asks for a particular involvement of the shoulders. So you take this triangle to the right and then back to the middle. And explore enough of the range so that the left shoulder begins to come a little away from the floor. And then returns. At least that you can note that. And then begin to include the head by tipping the nose with the fingers. So the knees stay forward and you have them apart so that you have some stability in the pelvis. And you tip to the right and come back to the middle. And note what you're doing with your breathing here, whether it's remaining continuous. And if there's any way you can make the movement quieter, with less effort, simpler, is there anything extra you're doing in the trunk that you don't need to do to simply turn to the right and come back? All right, now take the arms alongside and rest. Now, as we did just a little bit ago, cross the left leg over the right. Get your right foot where you want it so it's stable, and tip the knees to the left and back. Let's see what this like is now after the previous movement. Is there a difference in the quality or availability of an easy range before the sense of effort appears? So you don't only have to make it small, you can begin to make this movement a little larger. Just don't make the size of the movement, increasing that, your goal. Explore the range while keeping the quality of movement light, easy, enjoyable. You note the change in effort when you make the movement a little bit larger. And note if it's different than it was the last time you did it. All right, leave it, extend the legs and rest. Sometimes you'll have strange auditory hallucinations when you're sometimes it's just a phone ringing. Okay, stand the 2 feet again and bring the palms together, extend the arms forward. Be sure you've put your feet where you want them for stability and take care that you haven't just placed them together. Make sure the feet are comfortably apart for stability. And begin to take this triangle to the left. So now the shoulders are involved. You can take the fingers a little forward toward the ceiling if that rounds your back in a way that's helpful. And now the shoulders turn to the left as the pelvis remains relatively quiet. And begin to add the nose, so the nose goes with the fingers. The knees stay forward, so that you turn, you twist in the middle, which is to say you turn the shoulders relative to the pelvis. And note how as the fingers go to the left, the right shoulder begins to come off the floor a little bit. How far down through the trunk does this turning from the top extend in the direction of the pelvis? Do you feel the rib cage at the top turning, the clavicles? How does the front of the chest move? How far down to the ribs? Do you notice any change in the space behind the low back as you gradually make the movement a little bit larger so that you explore the range a little bit. Then leave it and pause. Take the arms alongside. Now stand the legs and cross the right leg over the left, as we did at the beginning. Putting the foot, standing foot, somewhere near the center line, right to left, and begin to tip the knees to the right relative to the quiet shoulder girdle. So the knees go to the right and back to the middle. And see what this is like here. How does this compare to the last time you did it in terms of available range before you note a change in effort, quality of movement, the degree to which you note the movement moving up in the direction of the head. Note, is there a way that you coordinate your breathing with this, whether you're aware of it or not? So the knees go to the right and to the middle. Explore that side. Now, perhaps you've already noted this is the same twist as you were just doing with the arms forward. It's just twisting from the bottom end of the trunk rather than the top. And perhaps something has changed as a result. All right, then you can do several more movements if you like. When you are ready to rest, unfold your legs and rest. Note how it is to rest on the floor at this point in the lesson. Do you notice any difference in terms of the space behind the back, the low back, or the way the head rests, the shoulders? Is there any difference in the quality of your breathing, or perhaps the quality of your attention to your immediate experience? All right, stand the feet again. Cross the left leg over the right. Now, interlace the fingers of your two hands and take the hands behind the head. Bring the elbows forward to cradle the head. And now, lower the knees off to the left, as far as they go comfortably, easily. So, and then leave them there. And with the help of the hands and the shoulders, begin to take the head forward off the floor in the direction of the feet, and then bring it down again. And really note, if you want to make that action a little easier, you use the middle of yourself. You shorten in the front as you lengthen in the back to bring the head forward, and then lower it. And note what happens in the knees as you bring the head forward and take it back. Is there a change in the position of the knees if you don't interfere with it? In order to lighten the head, you use the whole middle of yourself. Take the low back toward the floor as you bring the head forward. And see if that affects this turning of the hips. And as the head goes back, you let the knees sink a little to the side. See if you can discover this relationship here. So this kind of bringing the head forward is a kind of folding of the trunk. And then and as you lower the head gently, a lengthening of the trunk, an extending of it. All right, and then leave that. Extend the legs, take the arms up, lie in the head, rest. Stand the 2 feet again and cross the legs the other way. The right leg is over the left. Clasp the fingers the other way with the other interlacing. Take the elbows forward to cradle the head and sink the knees off to the right as far as they go comfortably. Just say a little bit far. Not so that you need to really work or hold your breath or anything like that. And here, using the whole front of yourself, shoulders, take the head forward by taking the low ribs and the back into the floor. And note how that affects the tipping of the pelvis. Do you find a relationship there? So as you let the head rest back, maybe the knees sink a little more to the side. As you bring the head forward and really recruit the middle of yourself, what happens with the tipping of the pelvis? What's the relationship there? If it's not clear, it may become more clear. Simplify the lifting of the head by taking the low ribs into the floor. So you really use more of yourself, and it's not a local kind of lifting of the head, it's more of a global lifting. All right, then unfold the limbs, lower the head, extend the legs, rest. Now stand both feet, interlace your fingers however you like, take them behind the head, and here with the knees forward, both feet standing, lift the head by taking the low back into the floor, by shortening in the front, by taking the sternum, a little bit down in the direction of the pelvis, pressing the front ribs back toward the floor. And note if the pelvis moves a little here, maybe the pelvis tips as you shape the whole spine to lift the head. Perhaps you can lift the shoulders a little off the floor as well. Not to the point where you have a kind of stretch behind the neck at all. Just that you really become aware of the shaping of the whole of the back. The inclusion of the pelvis. Maybe some movement at the hip joints. And you see if it's helpful to exhale as you begin the lift. Be sure you really set the head down fully between each movement. You see if through a kind of coordination of a shortening in the front and a lengthening in the back. Back gets longer behind and goes to the floor. Front shortens. It's really one movement, but has these components. If you can make the lifting of the head a little easier. You know, maybe that the pelvis is included, that as you tip the pelvis, you can lift the head. All right, then leave it, extend the arms and legs, rest. And note if the way that you're resting on the floor, the hows of your resting on the floor are any different. If anything stands out. You know, and certainly, maybe not. All right, now with the legs long on the floor, take the feet a little bit apart, perhaps a little bit wide. And now reach across your front with the right hand so that you could put the right hand in the left armpit as if you were going to try to touch with your fingers the shoulder blade that's available on the back side of the left shoulder. So the right hand's in the left armpit. And then cross the left arm over that so that you're holding your right shoulder, the outside of your right shoulder with the left hand. And you kind of have something of a triangle here with the two elbows. You don't have to fix it. It's just whatever is comfortable. And with the legs a little bit apart here, just begin to rock a little side to side with the shoulder girdle, leaving the pelvis quiet. The pelvis rests and the legs are long, if that's comfortable for you at least. And allow the nose to come with. You can begin by making this quite a deliberate movement where you move from one side to the other and coming back to the middle. Then begin at some point to experiment with perhaps pulling the shoulders a little bit forward so the back rounds, and then making the movement a little smaller and a little quicker so that you rock from side to side. And note what you do in the trunk to take up this movement, turning the shoulders, the head, the eyes, the jaw, the tongue, the elbows, the sternum. Left and right. Is there anything extra you're doing in the sides of the ribs or the trunk that you could leave off to make this movement simpler, quieter, lighter? Then pause in the middle for just a moment and switch the two arms over. So the left hand is in the right armpit and the right arm is over the top, holding the left shoulder, and take up this movement side to side again. It can be a little deliberate at first to take the one shoulder away from the floor, the other more into it. The nose comes with, go across the center line and go back and forth from side to side. Maybe you find even the fingertips can help a little to draw the shoulder off the floor as that side comes forward. And then begin to experiment with different rates so that you make a smaller, lighter, quicker movement. It really sort of oscillates from side to side, even if it's very small in the middle. Note if your breathing can be free, uninvolved. Experiment with the rate a little bit, how the two shoulders roll on the floor, how far down toward the pelvis that movement goes. Then unfold your arms, put your legs wherever you want, comfortably long, and rest. Attend to that particular subjective first person experience. All right, stand the 2 feet. Take the arms across the front of the chest as you did at first, with the right fingertips in the left armpit, the left arm draped over the cross, across the front, holding the right shoulder. Really get a hold of that right shoulder so that maybe the shoulders come forward just a little bit, and try this rocking side to side here. You can start out quick or you can start out slow. Slow can be a little bigger perhaps, and quick can be smaller, lighter. And look to identify any superfluous muscular work that you're doing that you could leave off. And you include the nose so that the nose and the elbows go together from one side to the other, so that the whole upper back and neck and head are rocking. See if you can do this while continuing, but just switch the arms over. Okay, now think this through. You can just pause for a second and take up rocking. But lead the nose and the face forward. So the pelvis is quiet and the head is quiet and the shoulders rock from side to side. So now you differentiate the head from the shoulders, from the rest of the trunk. See what's required to leave the head forward. Now the shoulders are, in a sense, turning between the head and the pelvis. All right, and then switch the arms over and continue. Is it different when the arms are arranged in this way? I mean, certainly it's different. How is it different? Do you work differently? Is it easier or trickier, clearer? Less available, more available. All right, then pause for a moment, unfold the arms. Rest with the legs bent or long as you prefer. Now stand the feet again. Cross your arms over as you wish. Note your preference. And begin to rock from side to side here, and open your eyes and look at some point on the ceiling, and let the head turn with the shoulders, but leave the eyes forward on that spot. So the head rolls with the shoulders, the knees stay forward and do not roll. The pelvis is quiet. Just the eyes stay forward now, and the pelvis. So differentiating the movement of the eyes from the movement of the head and shoulders. So the eyes turn in the head to do so. And see how tricky is that, or how available is that. If it's tricky, you make it a little smaller. So it's just a little rocking movement of the head and shoulders as the eyes look forward. Then allow the head to go and eyes to go together. So the eyes go with the head. You maybe can close them or leave them open. If you leave them open, do you see that perhaps the eyes sort of catch on the ceiling a little bit? Or not. And switch the arms over, keeping that rocking going, or can come back, coming back to that rocking. And at some point, stop the eyes and let the head and shoulders continue. As the eyes look forward, as the head and shoulders turn. And at some point, let the eyes and head go together. So the whole top of yourself is moving, the shoulders, the head, the eyes, whether they're closed or open. Everything goes left and right. Top half of the spine, the shoulders, the head turning relative to the pelvis. And leave it. Extend the arms and legs and rest. So here we see a couple of central, you might call them themes in awareness through movement. One is the integration of movement, limbs, the trunk, the head, the eyes, and then also the differentiation of all of these. Both are possible, both are helpful. And exploring them allows us to understand ourselves more clearly. All right, bend the 2 feet, stand them. Cross the arms in the front as you wish, holding one armpit and the other shoulder. And take up a gentle rocking from side to side, the eyes, the nose, the head, the jaw, the elbows all going together. And then as you establish this rhythm, or once you have this rhythm established, think it through, and at some point, as you cross the center line, just see if you can easily switch the head to turning in the other direction. So that the head goes left and right as the shoulders go right and left. And take it easy with this so you don't suddenly begin straining. You just make it light, simple. Now there's a clear differentiation between the head and shoulders. Be sure you're not holding your breath if your attention is so engaged that you can't leave your breath alone. Let up a little bit, make it a little lighter or simpler. And come back to everything together. The elbows, the head, the eyes, all turning in the same direction. I pause in the middle for just a moment, change your arms over. And try the same sequence. So you establish a rhythm of rocking with the head and shoulders together. And then at some point, think it through so that smoothly, easily, as you cross the center line, you switch the direction of the head so it goes opposite the shoulders. Can you leave your breathing undisturbed? And at some point, bring them all back together so that everything goes left and everything goes right at once. Then leave it, extend the legs and unfold the arms, rest. All right, stand the 2 feet. Cross the right leg over the left. Put the left foot somewhere close to the middle. And begin to take the knees off to the right and back to the middle. See what it's like now. What's the degree to which your whole trunk is involved in this movement relative to before? What are the kinds of distinctions you can make about the involvement of the rib cage, the low back, relative to before? And also, you know, one thing among many, what's the range like if you test it a little, where you can move too comfortably before the quality of effort changes, which isn't to say as far as you can go, it's not that, it's how far can you go to the right with the quality of effort remaining similar? Then you come back to the middle. And note, can you use the whole middle of yourself to bring your knees back to the middle? Shortening in the front, taking the back to the floor to bring the pelvis back to the middle. And then letting the back, at least on the left side, come away from the floor a little bit as the knees go to the right. So you can think about using the middle of yourself to take the knees to the side and back, rather than just thinking of the knees. Think of something else. All right, then unfold the legs, pause for a moment. The knees bent here. And fold the other leg over. Take the left leg over the right. And experiment with this side, tipping off to the left. Considering some of these same questions, do you do it differently throughout your whole trunk? How is it that the back shapes as the right hip lifts from the floor? If you really think about using the trunk, allowing the belly to extend and lengthen as the knees go to the side perhaps, and then taking the both sides of the back closer to the floor to bring the pelvis to the middle. think of this action in the trunk rather than in the knees. You notice your head get involved in any way. Not so much turning side to side, just is there any movement in the chin if you don't do anything in particular? Especially as the knees sink off to the side. You explore the comfortably available range. All right, you're welcome to do a few more movements if you are still engaged, you're still curious. When you're ready to rest, extend all the limbs and rest. So with the legs long, the arms long, what's your contact with the floor behind like now? How does it differ from what you recall from the beginning of the lesson? And again, what's your quality of attention to these details of how you're resting on the floor? What's the quality of attention like relative to earlier in the lesson? So, to the degree that it's available, you know, maintaining some of this quality of attention. Choose a side and take your time about it, but roll to the side, then come up to sit. And eventually find your way to standing. And there's no rush. Sort that out for yourself, the timing of it, the side that you choose. Pausing at any point, but gradually coming to stand. When you get to your feet, just put the feet under your hips and pause in standing for a moment. See what it's like to stand with the hips over the feet, shoulders over the hips, the rib cage between. What's the carriage of the head like? How do the two arms hang? And here in standing, look around a little bit, right and left. Up and down a little bit. And before you begin walking, know that you will bring yourself over one leg and step with the other. Sort out which one that is, what your preference is, and begin to walk. That may be your usual preference, or maybe not. May have been the same as when you walked in and weren't maybe attending to it. Maybe it's different. Then look around as you walk and if you begin to find a more typical kind of rhythm of walking, as you look around, note, do you tend to look toward the side where you're stepping forward? Or do you tend to look the other way? Is that the same on each side? That is, when the right foot comes forward, do you look right or left if you're looking? You might try turning around a little bit or taking a few steps backward. Just look around at the room around you, other people. And we'll call it a lesson. Thank you, everyone.